People versus Suck, and the petitioner may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is David Jones. I'm a deputy district attorney with the 18th Judicial District. And in February of 2009, the district court, acting in its capacity as an appellate court under CRIM P 37.1, made an error of law. And as a result of that error, the people are denied the right to have an interlocutory appeal reviewed on its merits. What I'd like to do this morning is quickly go through what led up to the district court's order, and then discuss three points, specifically how the district court erred in its analysis, and then discuss how a proper analysis would be conducted. In 2008, late 2008, the county court was addressing a motion to suppress statements, stop, and arrest. And during the course of that, the county court judge made a ruling indicating that what we believe to be a investigatory detention led to an arrest, or circumstances that were similar to arrest that would require the advisement pursuant to Miranda, and that any statements made after that arrest should be suppressed because Miranda wasn't given. The people, believing that the circumstances presented in the county court did not amount to a situation requiring Miranda, filed an interlocutory appeal with the district court under 37.1. The people used the rules of appellate procedure in determining how long they had to file its notice of appeal. And using Rule 26 of the Colorado Appellate Rules, we determined that 10 days, not including weekends and holidays, was the appropriate rule to use in making that computation. And the people did, in fact, file on the 14th day within that time frame. Shortly after the people filed this notice of appeal, the defendant filed a motion to dismiss, claiming that this district court did not have jurisdiction because the people had not filed in a timely manner, a jurisdictional requirement for an interlocutory appeal. That issue was responded to by the prosecution, and before briefing was completed, in fact, a day before the people filed its reply brief, the district court issued an order. And in that order, it found on its own two cases that it used to try to figure out what time computation rules should be used. The defense argued that CRIM P 45 is the time computation rule that should be used. We argued appellate rule 26 was the appropriate rule. The court found the cases of People versus Powers and People versus Melton. Those cases didn't specifically address time computation, but they did go through a minor analysis of the circumstances in those cases and found that the people had in fact filed within 10 days. It was those cases, Powers and Melton, were applying a rule of appellate procedure that had been amended. And in Powers and Melton, the rule was that weekends and holidays are excluded in circumstances where the timing was 7 days or less. Well, in 2006, that was changed to 11 days or less, which would include the 37.1 circumstance of 10 days. The court used the Powers and Melton cases, which applied the wrong rule of appellate procedure, the old abrogated rule, and thus erred in applying those cases because those cases were no longer instructive on the issue. Which brings me to what do we do if the district court is in fact wrong in its use of powers in Melton. And that is specific to 37.1. CRIM P37.1G indicates that if no other procedure is indicated by the ruler.
Mr. Jones, let me just stop you for a moment. Isn't powers in Melton, isn't that sort of a red herring? Because the essence of this is really just whether to apply the criminal procedure rule or the appellate rule, right?
It is, but the district court relied on those cases, and that's where it erred.
What does that do for us? I mean, that really doesn't help us at all, does it?
It does, because we're appealing the district court's finding. It applied the rules of appellate procedure. It just applied an abrogated rule. We're not disputing the court's finding that the rules of appellate procedure apply. We're disputing the fact that the old rule that was used by
the court. Let me get to the point there. Are you suggesting that we could, if we ultimately were to think that it's the criminal rule that applies, that we could nonetheless affirm the determine that the district court was wrong in relying on those cases, but this doesn't raise the issue of whether the criminal rule applies?
You could.
And therefore we could misapply the appellate rule, assuming we think that the criminal rule applies, and still give you the result you're looking for?
What you'd be doing is reversing in part and affirming in part. So, I mean, that you could do that, yes.
But the parts make the whole, right? I mean, I think the point is, though, that this is going to be very confusing. Practitioners, civil, criminal, so on, this time computation. I know the Civil Rules Committee and the Criminal Rules Committee have been wrestling with this. But in effect, this interlocutory appeal is to us. So,
yes.
You know, why doesn't the appellate rule just apply?
That's what my point
is. It's to be filed with us.
Yes. 37.1 has subsection G, which specifically says that when a procedure is not prescribed by the rule,
Before you address this argument by your argument, which I think is the crux of your argument, which is you get there because there isn't a provision for it, procedural provision for it, and therefore you're referred to the appellate rules. But I'm just asking a different question entirely. And I want to know if you're making that argument, because it seems to me that what Justice Hobbs is asking is, why do the criminal rules apply at all? This is an appellate rule because the appeal is to us. I don't, and I want you to know, are you taking that position?
It is that the appellate rules apply to this
that
circumstance?
The appellate rules apply without regard to the criminal rules, because I think your argument is the criminal rules apply, and that's how you get to the appellate
rule. Well, we've got the dilemma of the scope and application of the appellate rules. Those rules, specifically the title of it, it's not a specific rule in and of itself, but it's the application of rules section of the Court of Appellate Rules, or the appellate rules, indicates that it only applies to the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals, unless otherwise noted. That takes us to the rules of criminal procedure.
There is no question here, though, just to make sure we get clear here. This is an appeal from the county court to the district court.
Correct.
It's only up here before us on certiorari.
Is that correct? That is correct.
Okay.
And so the timing problem is between the county court and the district court.
The timing problem is between the, yes, that's correct. Okay. Not in filing our petition for
not
cert.
Not up here.
Correct.
So the only way you get to the appellate rules is through your argument if the criminal rules don't provide for the time computation, or if the particular rule that you're talking about doesn't provide for.
That's correct. There was nowhere to put the appellate rules addressing county court cases because the court or the rules of appellate procedure specifically excluded the district court by indicating it only applied to the Supreme Court and the Court of Appeals unless otherwise noted. So we're in this dilemma that was created by the rules themselves of where is this rule or these rules, 37 and 37.1, belong? The bottom line is there are the rules of criminal procedure and we've got to deal with it.
Maybe you need to talk about specifically why the criminal rule on time computation doesn't apply to a time limit set in the criminal rules. Because that seems to me to be sort of the default position, right? The criminal rule on time computation, 45, applies to the criminal rules and therefore to time that's counted. You got a 10-day time limit here. You got to figure out how to count it. The criminal rule applies.
Well, to directly address that specific question, Rule 54 of the criminal rules talks about these rules do not apply to the following. And it goes through a litany of exceptions, one of them being special circumstances or special proceedings wherein those rules are specifically excluded. And here, we're dealing with a proceeding of appellate procedure or a proceeding that addresses a court reviewing a lower court as opposed to a criminal proceeding. We're dealing with appeals as opposed to trials, to put it in simple terms.
So if you read 56 to say that it doesn't apply to interlocutory, that the criminal rules don't apply to interlocutory appeals, that I have trouble with that. That seems to me that takes out your procedural rule that you are initially relying on.
Well, let me jump to a point I was going to make about the rules of statutory interpretation, which also apply to interpreting procedural rules. And a concept articulated by in pari materia is really the answer to our question here. Similar or rules that address similar topics will be reviewed next to the rules that also address that similar topic. So here we've got a rule of appellate procedure, 37.1. Under in pari materia, it would be reviewed next to those things or those rules that address that similar subject, appeals. Using that interpretation, because I'll grant you, there's a rule that addresses time computation in the criminal rules. There's also a specific rule within 37.1 that says, look to the appellate rules. Where do we stand? That takes us to the rules of statutory interpretation and trying to figure this out.
Counsel, can I just stop you there? Can we just start at Rule 37.1? I think you've been taken far afield, but I guess I just am trying to get your argument. If you could just start with 37.1G, okay? And if no procedure is specifically prescribed by this rule.
Correct.
And doesn't this come down to this?
This, correct. Singular. Words in a rule or statute have specific meanings, and they're intended to have their specific meaning. This is singular. These are plural. If there was an intention by the committee to include the entirety of the rules in making determinations, it would have said so, or it would have remained silent on the issue. It chose to address the issue, and by doing so, it indicated its intent. The intent was to use the appellate rules. Because quite frankly, what's the reason to have a different rule for county court appeals?
Well, can I just stop you? I think you're
appeals.
But I guess I'm just wondering why you're not just stopping with this. I mean, you've gone to in pari materia and the purpose, but I guess I don't know. Does it? Are you not help me understand why you're not confident in the?
Oh, I am confident.
Okay,
I am incompetent, but I do have concerns about other justices that address this issue and say, why wouldn't we just refer to the rules of criminal procedure? I'm trying to address those circumstances by then moving on, because I think Justice Martinez, you would agree, at least in your circumstance, that it is confusing.
No, I don't think it's confusing at all. I think it's just as I've indicated. It's entirely a question of subsection G and whether procedures specifically prescribed by this rule takes you to the appellate rules, or whether instead the time computation rule is not a procedure, it's a computation, and is not meant to take you out of this rule. It seems to me that's the crux of the matter, and that everything else you've been talking about so far really isn't of concern to us.
Fair enough. Let's stick to 37.1G. As I indicated, it is singular and does not refer to the other rules. It refers specifically to a different set of rules. And when a procedure is not prescribed by the rules, the rule, singular, you are to look to the court, the appellate rules.
Jones, before you run out of time, can I just ask you about the rule changes? Because we've
Settled
to both these. After July of this last year, can this problem arise?
No. After July of this year, the Rule 45 has been amended, and now it is in line with Rule 26 of the Appellate Rules of Procedure.
The real crux of the problem was that these two rules were not amended at the same time.
Correct.
And therefore, previously, when people filed using time computation, one would never know for sure whether they were applying the time computation rule, the criminal rule, or the appellate rule, because there wasn't a difference.
Correct. Before the change to the appellate rule, there was no conflict. It's only when that rule was changed to try to bring it into conformity with the civil rule of time computation that there became a conflict that was probably unnecessary and probably simply an oversight as far as amending Rule 45. Thank you.
Good morning, Rita Montoya from the Office of the Colorado State Public Defender on behalf of Ivan Zook. The Colorado Rules of Criminal Procedure are very clear. The government acknowledges that the Colorado Rules of Criminal Procedure are to be read in pari materia, which means they're to be read as a whole. That is very important in this case. 37.1G does state, as Justice Eade mentioned, in this rule. However, when we take a look at the fact that they are supposed to be read as a whole, we can't discount what is in some of the other rules of procedure. The title of 37.1 is Interlocutory Appeals from County Court. That in itself makes it very clear that there are separate procedures for interlocutory appeals from the county court versus interlocutory appeals from the district court. Now, the government has contended that the procedures are basically the same, the issues are the same, and so essentially, why wouldn't the time computation rule be the same? That's because there are two separate procedures. If there was meant to be one procedure, then just as in the Criminal Rules of Procedure, Rule 41.3 refers to the Colorado Appellate Rules for Interlocutory Appeals from District Court, there would be something similar referring interlocutory appeal procedures to the Colorado Appellate Rules as well. Now, 37.1G does state in this rule, the defense would submit to the court that, again, the rules are to be read as a whole. And so when we look at 37.1, which prescribes that there are 10 days for the district attorney to file the interlocutory appeal, we would submit to the court that it is simply, as Justice Martinez stated, that the computation aspect is simply that.
Can I ask you a question about the changes in these rules?
Yes.
Obviously, if you went back and looked, and you probably know, before 37.1 was passed, there was Rule 41.2, which provided for the interlocutory appeal from a county to a district court. That was provided basically for a trial de novo. This rule replaced it. It would be hard not to see that this rule parallels, in fact, completely mirrors Rule 4.1. of the appellate rules for an interlocutory appeal from the district court to the Supreme Court. Do you think there's any indication in the fact that the rule was changed to provide the exact same time limits as an appellate rule, including the 10 days, which is mirrors the 4.1, and with G indicating that if there's anything this rule doesn't say about the procedures that the appellate rules will apply, do you think there's any suggestion there that the clear intent of drafting the rule was to make the appellate rules apply to this kind of a procedure?
Your Honor, I think it can be argued that the intent was to create a similar procedure. However, there's been nothing cited to this court that there was a clear express intent for that to be. And what I would submit to the court is that by having the two separate procedures, by having two different rules for the interlocutory appeals, that in fact illustrates that there was meant to be two separate procedures, regardless of whether or not the language of the rules may be similar. If the rulemakers intended for one procedure to govern all interlocutory appeals, there would have simply been one rule.
You bring it down just a little more specifically and let me address. But the thing we're really arguing about here in particular is the 10 days for filing.
Yes.
Isn't it? The 10 days came into being in this rule after and pretty clearly mirroring the 10-day requirement for of Rule 4.1. Do you think there's any suggestion that the intent of this rule was to have a different 10 days from the 10 days that would apply to Rule 4.1?
Your Honor, I would submit to the court that if the rulemakers meant for the 10 days in Rule 37.1 to be the same exact 10 days as in CAR 4.1, then perhaps they would have simply left out the time limit for filing. And then in that case, I think it would be, we would be more agreeable to the fact that perhaps the time constraints do follow the rule that's under the Colorado appellate rules. But the rulemakers didn't do that. They specifically set forth the time limits within their own county court, Colorado rule.
I won't tie you up anymore, but the one last piece of this. Okay, so then we do have the rules makers, including G, which says if a procedure is not specifically prescribed by this rule, the appellate rules will apply. So is your argument pretty much that if they had intended what the prosecution is arguing here, they would have said if no rule of procedure and no time calculation is specifically provided? Was that would have been what would be required to make clear that they intended the appellate rules to apply for calculations?
Your Honor, I think we would submit to the court that, again, the time calculation is simply that. It's a calculation. It's not a criminal procedure for which 37.1G applies.
Thank you.
Yeah, I hear the arguments, et cetera. Unfortunately, the committee is us, you know, and we have to construe our own intent. It seems to me that we also have to give effect to the procedure. Now, I mean, just a parallel, it would take me some time to find the cases, but we have in statute of limitations cases where there's ambiguity and a shorter versus a longer one may be applicable. I believe the one we choose is the longer one. We're actually talking about one day here. The ante is up because it's a jurisdictional requirement, but as we know, statute of limitations can be changed and even made, you know, retroactive without being illegally, unconstitutionally retrospective. Mm-hmm. So why shouldn't we in this case just declare that there is a savings clause in G for such a circumstance in this, and that the additional day should be granted because in effect one could reasonably presume that was an extra day? Would you respond to that?
Thank you, Your Honor. We would submit to the court that there's nothing in either the rules of criminal procedure, in Rule 37.1 that leads one to presume that they should reference the Colorado appellate rules. It's our position that 37.1 is very clear about time limits in this case. And again, I believe it goes back to what Justice Martinez said about computation being computation and not a procedure in this case. And again, we, in looking at perhaps what the intent might be, we look at things like the language of the statute, the context as a whole. I think it's also, in this case, important to look at the fact that Rule 45 has been changed. And it has been changed, as the government acknowledged, to now mirror Colorado Appellate Rule 26. But even in doing so, there's nothing in the comments for the new rule that state that there was any intent to have that rule mirror the Colorado appellate rule time computation rule, because appeals from interlocutory appeals from county court and district court interlocutory appeals should be exactly the same. Again, there was an opportunity, if that was the intent, to make that very clear. There was an opportunity to even say, we don't even need a rule of criminal procedure governing interlocutory appeals from county court. Let's just change the whole thing and say the Colorado appellate rules apply to all interlocutory appeals. But that's not what happened in this case. And so I would submit that to the court as well for your consideration. We would also ask the court to consider that there are many other things to look at in this case as well. Frazier v. People is cited for the rule that we can't have illogical or absurd results. To interpret a statute where the result is illogical or absurd is not something that the court should do. And in this case, we would submit to the court that having the time computation rule, having Criminal Rule of Procedure 45 apply as the time computation rule for every other rule in the Colorado Rules of Criminal Procedure, except 37.1, except the rule for interlocutory appeals from county court, would in fact lead to that illogical or absurd result. To have one single rule refer to a completely different set of rules, it simply makes no sense. There is a footnote 8 on page 711 in People v. Peterson that talks about how the intent at some point was to create a simplified procedure for appeals in county court. And that goes back to about 1960 or so. And while that footnote in that case doesn't distinguish between post-conviction appeals and interlocutory appeals, I think that that is something that can be, that said, that is something that should be considered by the court, that the intent here, and perhaps the reason there are two different sets of rules, is because county court is meant to follow simplified rules of procedure. And again, to direct an individual to a completely different set of rules would lead to that absurd and illogical result, and it also would complicate the procedure, not simplify the procedure.
You suggested that this would make Rule 37.1, you know, different than the rest of the criminal rules, and that it goes to the appellate rule if we accept that interpretation. I mean, is that correct, that it's the only rule that uses that terminology if a procedure is not provided for in this rule, and therefore there we would not find ourselves in other circumstances where the court has said this procedure without being clear about whether it meant to avoid the time calculation rule or not?
Your Honor, I haven't been able to find any other rules that refer to another rule for time computation or time calculation. I cited in our brief...
Isn't my concern, it seems to me, if I were looking through the rules to try to see whether my concern, whether I should have concern or not, it seems to me I'd be looking for if anywhere else in the rules we have indicated if a procedure is not provided for in this rule and referred elsewhere, and whether within that rule there were time limitations.
I just want to make sure I understand the court's question.
I was just trying to ask you, you made a statement, and I'm wondering whether you actually looked through the rules to see whether in the criminal rules somewhere we have, the rule has said something similar to Section G, and therefore potentially created this same issue in some other arena.
And I'm not aware of another rule that has that subsection G type statement, that caveat that if we miss something, go ahead and look to this other set of rules. Nothing that I'm aware of. We did cite in our brief People v. Hoop. That was the closest case I was able to find. It is not directly on point in this case, obviously, because the rule that it is concerning is orders of probation revocations, and there is no 37.1G type language within that the rule that governs there. So there is nothing referring an individual to another set of rules in case something has been missed. But the court in Hoop did, in looking at how to calculate the 5-day time limit, which is of issue in that case, did look at Rule 45 in that case. Again, it is not directly on point because it doesn't contain the 37.1G language, but it was the only case that I was able to come across that in any way was relevant to this case. The government, in their opening and response briefs, mentions a variety of other reasons that the court should find that Appellate Rule 26 applies here and not 45. Those reasons have to do with having more time to decide whether or not an interlocutory appeal should be filed, Those reasons have to do with the fact, their argument that the county court interlocutory appeal procedures should mirror the district court rule procedures. And what we would submit to the court is that those are essentially policy arguments. Those are arguments as to why perhaps interlocutory procedures for interlocutory appeals for all courts should be contained within one set of rules. Those arguments are irrelevant here. The issue here is what was the rule, not what the rule should be. And so in closing, we would simply submit to the court that the rule for time computation for interlocutory appeals from a county court should be in Rule 45, that the Colorado Rules of Criminal Procedure must be read as a whole, and that accordingly the court should find that it is Rule 45 that applies here and not Colorado Appellate
Rule. Well, let's assume that our intent was to try to avoid traps, pitfalls, you know, springing limitations, and that we did try to make this uniform and somehow just blew it. You know, and therefore this catch-all phrase really achieves justice in this case. What would your response to that be?
I want to make sure I understand the question correctly,
right,
Judge. Are you asking that, say this was just a mistake, that we meant that
oversight,
meant
timing,
for,
you know, timing issue and trying to correct the situation so the playing field is level when you compute time for all these purposes?
And I would refer the court back to my previous argument that the court had an opportunity to do so when they changed the time computation rule 45 in this case. They had an opportunity to amend Rule 37.1.
Well, you're ascribing an intent that we did not intend to do that, and we intended to have a separate procedure here. Is that
what
really the basis of your argument?
What I'm submitting to the court is that there is no express language anywhere regarding the court's intent for 37.1 to be exactly the same as the Colorado appellate rules. There's nothing that has been submitted to this court to show, in fact, that that was the intent. And I understand that it's this court that makes the rule, and so perhaps you know what your intent was, but there has been nothing submitted to the court. There's nothing in the rule. There's nothing in the language of the title or in any of the other Colorado rules of criminal procedure that would indicate that, and in fact, it's to the contrary. Thank you.
Yes, court, I want to thank both counsel for your arguments. This case stands submitted.